The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov, pretty good. Thank you. How are you guys doing? I hope all well. Two things that I wanted to just talk about before we talk about the real stuff, Howard. Yeah. First of all, there was a comment made by Anton yesterday with regard to the F-35 bombers that we discussed.
Anton Lopez, one of our listeners. Yes, absolutely.
That's correct. Mm. So the truth of the matter is obviously that the F-35, I think I mentioned that it was a bomber, and in fact it is a stealth fighter, even though I think it does double up as a fighter bomber as well. But it certainly, its claim to fame is a stealth bomber. There's no doubt about that. A stealth fighter, I think, is the way that they call it officially. And then there was some discussion from him about whether the U.S. really does sell these to anybody else. I think he might have been mixing it up with the F-22, the F-35, but certainly in terms of the F-35, the U.S. has sold some to Israel, so we know that they are selling them beyond their borders. And we are led to understand, and it's quite acknowledged from the U.S. administration, that these F-35s are in fact being touted to be sold to the United Arab Emirates. So that was the first comment that I wanted to make. The second thing is just to throw a thought out there. And the thought that I want to throw out there relates to the law of return. Currently, the law of return, as it has been since 1970, says that any person with one Jewish grandparent is entitled to claim citizenship of Israel on arriving at the airport, literally like that. If you have the ability to prove that one of your grandparents is Jewish, was Jewish in the case that they're no longer alive, then you have the right to claim Israeli citizenship right away. And it's interesting that the Yamina member of Knesset, Bezalel Smotrich, will today propose a change to the law of return. And he is eager to try to bring it more in line with halakha. The halakha says that you are Jewish if you have a Jewish mother. That's what the Jewish law relates to in terms of who is Jewish and who is not Jewish. So obviously the law of return is currently not in line with Jewish law. There's a good reason for that, by the way, because the Nuremberg laws that the Nazis enacted applied to anyone with one Jewish grandparent, and the leaders of Israel back in 1970 felt that if one Jewish grandparent was enough to define a person as a Jew for the Nazi war machine, then it's good enough for it to be defined as a Jew for, or enough Jewish Jew to claim citizenship for the state of Israel. But Smotrich is eager to try and change that and bring it into line with halakha. And so what he wants to do as the next step, rather than changing it completely, just take it one step further and say, instead of you having one Jewish grandparent, you should have one Jewish parent. That's kind of his halfway step towards taking it into line with halakha. What do people think?
I'd love to hear from you. 34519 or 0618951019. Israel's first commercial flight to the UAE is set to take off next week. This is incredible. Wow.
It is incredible. And of course, it's the ongoing story of the peace agreement with the United Arab Emirates. You know, this is a big, big story item. It's good news and we like good news. And it seems to be a lot more pleasant than having to read about all of the other budgetary issues and coalition issues and coronavirus issues, all of which we will talk about, of course, in due course. But there is going to be the first ever commercial flight between Tel Aviv and Abu Dhabi due to take place, to take off on Monday next week. It will carry an Israeli delegation, which will be led by the head of the National Security Council, Meir Ben Shabbat. Apparently, a delegation from the U.S. administration will also be on board, including Jared Kushner and U.S. National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien, and also potentially the U.S. Special Representative for International Negotiations, Avi Berkovitz, those representing the U.S. administration. We understand that the delegation is due to hold talks in Abu Dhabi on the issue of normalizing relations between Israel and the UAE. And this follows conversation that was held yesterday between Minister of Defense Benny Gantz, who spoke with his counterpart in the United Arab Emirates, Mohammed bin Ahmad al-Barwadi, who is the Minister of Defense of the UAE. So obviously, budding ties, developing ties between Israel and the UAE in light of this recent announcement. The big question is, which airline will be used to fly this first commercial flight? And it looks like it could well be Al Al. It's going to mean that they're going to have to find a plane, take it out of the hangar, take it out of ice, charge up the engines, put the batteries on, pump the tires up, find a pilot to fly it, because at the moment Al Al is not flying at all. I'm guessing that Al Al are trying to find an appropriate wide-body plane that will be commensurate with the importance of the occasion, the first flight with the senior delegates on board. So we will look out for that next week. And let's hope that that will be the start of many commercial flights that will take place between the two countries.
Israel's coronavirus commissioner has threatened to resign.
I feel sorry for him.
Yeah,
actually.
Me too. But what precipitated, what preempted this?
Well, Ronnie Gamzu is actually a medical professional. He was in charge of a hospital and agreed to take on this rather thankless job of being the coronavirus commissioner. He didn't really say exactly why he is threatening to resign. This all happened during some sort of an interview session that he had on Facebook, with people throwing questions at him, and he was answering them. And he effectively expressed his frustration just by saying that if he sees that he's not being given the tools to bring down the morbidity, then he will not continue in his position. Now, I think that's a kind of a thinly veiled comment about the fact that the political arena, the political level, is really not giving him the backing that he needs to do his job. And one of the classic examples is what's going on with Uman at the moment, where he's said unequivocally that the Hasidim, and we discussed this yesterday, the Hasidim, the Breslev Hasidim, should not travel to Uman. He's been in touch with the Ukrainian president to ask him to stop people from traveling there. I understand that there are already potentially something like 1,500 of the Breslev Hasidim who've already arrived in Uman, readying the situation for the influx of many other people. The Ukrainian government is saying that they will stop them. The Israeli government is not saying anything. The Israeli government is simply not supporting his position. Wow. Prime Minister Netanyahu should theoretically come out and say to his cabinet, even though there are members of the cabinet that don't agree with this, he should say to them, guys, this is all in the interests of health. Health comes first, and your traditions, whatever they might be, will have to wait a year, when hopefully next year this time we will all be in a different situation and we can safely travel to Uman, to the grave of Rabbi Nachman, whatever it is. So I think that this is a classic example of Ronnie Gamzu not being given the support that he needs. Another example is the whole area of how the schools will be reopened. So many political considerations, everybody fighting their own separate corners to try and represent their constituency. But ultimately, the coronavirus commissioner not being allowed to do the job that he was brought in to do. And, you know, if I was in his situation, I would also be extremely frustrated. The problem, of course, is that when you look at the numbers, he hasn't really achieved much. Since he's come into office, the number of infections have only increased. The number of people dying has only increased. We've got more people who are now in serious situation, 427 all in all, with 121 people on ventilators. It's more than when he started his job. So he can't really take any credit for an improvement in the situation since he took over, to demonstrate the effectiveness of the provisions that he's made. Also, this whole traffic light system, red, orange and green for different municipalities, which he has proposed, which he feels very strongly about, has not been approved by the government and so therefore is in abeyance at the moment. So, as I say, I think he's got good reason to feel somewhat frustrated that he doesn't have the support of the people that really need to support him.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a thankless job, and the fact that it's all become political is just is just so frustrating, no doubt, for him. The U.S. administration is becoming increasingly frustrated, speaking of which, with Turkey. This relationship is not going particularly well.
Well, this is a very, very fascinating relationship, and what we've seen over the last few months, even years, is Turkey getting closer and closer, for example, to Hamas, to some of the renegade terror groups. They invited senior Hamas officials to visit Turkey. They welcomed them, you know, on a diplomatic level with open arms. Turkey was one of the main countries that criticized the U.S. recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital and the move of the ambassador, the embassy to Jerusalem. And recently, Turkey came out really critical alongside South Africa of the peace agreement with the United Arab Emirates. So we can see that the U.S. is becoming increasingly frustrated with Turkey's getting closer to Islamic countries, to some of the terror groups. The problem is that for the U.S., Turkey is a critical ally. Turkey is right on the border with Russia. The U.S. has always used Turkey as a location to be able to keep tabs on what Russia is up to, both in terms of intelligence and in terms of having a protective layer. Turkey, of course, is a member of NATO, so it also adds an increasing complication to the situation. But what we're seeing right now under the leadership of Recep Tayyip Erdogan is that Turkey is really just getting closer to all of those countries who are really not friendly with Israel, as being very, very critical of Israel, and also alienating itself from the United States. I think it's going to be fascinating to see whether the Turkish government is able to sustain this alienation with the United States, given the strength economically, the strength in NATO militarily that the United States has. I just wonder whether at some point Turkey is not going to be forced to step into line and become a little bit more in tune with US policies, because right now it's headed for a bit of an explosion.
But it has been for some time. I mean, Turkey's becoming much more difficult in terms of recognition of all sorts of basic rights, freedom of expression and a freedom of religion, association, etc. So Turkey's definitely been moving in the last while in the wrong direction.
I do agree with that, but I think we've seen it even more now that Turkey has so openly hosted these Hamas members and so openly. I think whereas before this has been a little bit undercover, now it's become much more public and much more in your face, very, very brazen in the way that they're opposing not only Israel. You know, Israel is one story, but the way that they're opposing U.S. policy, which I think is a very brave thing to do.
And we don't have a lot of time, but I just wanted to get an update on what's going on in the north, both the north and the southern borders last night. There were incidents, and these seem to be ongoing.
These are ongoing. I mean, the northern incident was a little surprising. There was apparently an incident where an IDF post was fired upon, and there was a view that there might have been an infiltration from the Lebanese border, and that people might have come into Israel through the Lebanese border and fired upon this IDF post. In the event, I think the IDF have said, following the whole incident where local residents in the area were confined to their homes and flares were used in order to try and see if anybody had infiltrated the Israeli border. It seems as if there wasn't an infiltration, and it's not quite clear at the moment how the light arms fire that was directed towards the IDF, where that actually came from. But what we do know is that the IDF did launch an attack against Hezbollah targets following this. They seem pretty sure that the fire did come from some sort of a foreign group which came from the Lebanese side. So there was a retaliation immediately. And of course, this, you know, standard retaliation that we've been seeing over the past few weeks towards Gaza, where again yesterday we had more than 20 fires break out, and also the detonation of some sort of an unidentified object, which seemed to detonate itself in the area of Netivot, not far from where children were playing outside. The police afterwards said that it seems as if this was some sort of an explosive device that fell off a terror balloon and that simply exploded in the street. Fortunately, nobody was injured. There were no damage. There was no damage caused. But unfortunately, things like that can be very, very dangerous indeed. And of course, all the fires that are breaking out. So again, the IDF were firing against Hamas targets overnight in the Gaza Strip.
Anthony Reich, that is where we leave it. Sounds like your F-35 in the background is about to